The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show have nothing to do with life whatsoever, but there is a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Remember, there is a time to cry. Yeah. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, wait, why does this guy have a radio show? Wait, here's why. Because everything we do is hopefully a blessing. Okay, we hope that most of everything we do is a blessing. Okay, we hope that some of what we do is a blessing. We hope that anything we do is a blessing. That's why. And also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. So here it is. Ready? We've asked this before. We'll ask it again. Who do we need to be more patient with? Who? Who's that person that I just said that and then they popped up in your mind? Who do we need to be more patient with? That's the challenge. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We find that to be sad. Instead, reach out to us and give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, whether it's 1134 in San Diego or 134 in Dallas, you can still reach out to us and call 972-445-0770. When you do that, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, man, that's like finding an unexpected bonus in your work check. How's that?
Well, I'll take that, right?
Right now, we'll take that, no hesitation. Additionally, you can text in. Boy, I'm feeling good again today. You can tell. I'm just like, meow. Here we go. You can text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Not professional voice coming up now.
214-210-8483.
We just slow it down so people can actually hear what the numbers are. Additionally, you can send us an email. Now, you can send a paper airplane. I don't think it can get through the security door here, but maybe it can. You can do that, though. You can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, okay, my name, at the A with the goofy circle around it, hemustincrease.org. org. That's the email side. We're also going to send you up to the website. On the website, there are many cool things on the website. Not only are there interviews, not only is there audio, not only is there videos of encouragement, there are articles. There is the opportunity to put in a praise report or a prayer request. We do want to remind you to be really conscious of the people that you're listening to on the show, and perhaps the Lord will put them on your heart so you can pray for them during the rest of the month of October. You don't have to spend a lot of time in prayer, but just lift them up before the Lord in prayer. And then also you can decide whether you want to partner with us or not. You can simply go to the site, and you'll see on the site a little red button that says donate. It's not overly complex. Pretty straightforward. If you need help, though, you can always reach out to us. For donating and partnering with the ministry, here's our scripture for today. Given it will be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use will be measured back to you. Therein lies the key. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
I don't know. What do you got? I don't know.
I got nothing. Okay. Yeah, I got nothing for that.
Fair enough. Okay, we are in the Psalms, and we are at the end of Psalm 41, so I'm getting ready to jump into that. I mean, this is just hugely. That's hugely multiple times. It's a very sad text I'm going to read, actually, as we are closing in on book one of the Psalms. For those that do not know, Psalms has been split up into five separate books. There's an entire teaching, an entire book, actually, that talks about each of the books represents stages in Israel's life. That is a possibility. I don't know. I think it's cool. I have no problem with it. I have no problem if you think that's cool or not think that's cool. I don't care. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we're in Psalm 41, closing in on the end of book one. We are at verse 9. This is not fun, okay? Not that it's dark and that it's just not fun. Here's what David wrote in the end of Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up. All right, now I want to stop right there because when I read this, you know what's going on. So David, he's writing all of these psalms, which are songs, by the way. So remember, it's a song. And he's writing, and it's just, I'm not trying to be morbid. It's a very difficult text to touch and not be affected by in the Old Testament. He says, even my own familiar friend whom I trusted and whom I ate bread with. So he gives three identifications, a friend, a person that he trusted, a person that they ate with. Keep in mind that when you eat in the New Testament and the Old Testament, the process of eating is a very intimate process. It's sharing, you know, the grace and the goodness and the things God has given. There's a very great connectability. Most of us call it fellowship, but when you have family meals, when you have meals with friends and so on and so forth, it's very powerful. It's a very communal element. So David's like, okay, very familiar. Now, could this be family members? Sure. But I think what he's gearing here is that it's a friend, and he's like, okay, this person whom I trusted, okay? And he calls him a familiar friend, which means somebody often close to him, often in his life. I trusted this person. I ate bread with this person. But this person lifted his heel against me. That's a great way of saying the guy stomped on David. From my perspective, just as a human being, this is just me because I've had this happen, and I know you guys have too. It's a tragedy. It's a tragic moment. David's communicating that the person close to him has hurt him. And that is brutal. David, when he's communicating that person close to him has hurt him, you know, I know that feeling, and I know that all of you out there, you know that feeling that somebody close to you has hurt you. But it's important to understand, even the greatest men and women of God also know that feeling. That did not happen to you because you are a brilliant Christian or a non-brilliant Christian, a growing Christian or an exceedingly mature Christian. It happens because there's sin in the world, and people choose sin over righteousness in many occasions. And so there's this, oh. And if you think right now in your life, right this second, of somebody who has been close to you and then has hurt you, somebody that's been maybe a best friend for years and years and years, and then they just stop being your friend. They just don't want to have anything to do with you. Never even give you a reason why. You're just like, what happened? They're even speaking against you. You're like, what happened? I'm not going to get into the depth of my situation. It's just like everybody else's. I have this theory. This is not a biblical theory, so don't get weird on me. But I always think that God lets each one of us handle as much as we can, and for each one of us, that's about the most we can take. A little different in each of the circumstances as they manifest, but everyone's is just as bad as everyone else's. It just comes out. It's visible differently, but its effect is the same. It hurts everyone to the max. And then he's literally petitioning the Lord. He's literally asking God. He's in that next verse, verse 11, by this I know you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. It's amazing that David says, please, Lord, don't let my enemy triumph over me. Don't let that happen. Now, in the context, David is trying to protect Israel and the people. But from a personalization point of view, or what we call the DAP, dynamic application principle, that this point of view, there's this personalization. We are looking to God to deliver us from Satan's evil plans. So this enemy has a triumph over him. This enemy is David is saying, I don't want him to triumph over me. This is bad. Or somebody close to me. In our existence, even if it's a person, what we find out is behind the person is a spiritual force that's much darker and much worse. And so from personalizing it and applying it, we are looking to God for deliverance from Satan and Satan's evil plans using people. And he is asking God not to let the enemies triumph over Israel, just like we're asking God not to let Satan's plans work against us and triumph over us. But the sadness is still there, right? Now, knowing that Jesus always set the examples, you could sit there and look at the 12 disciples and just consider, well, Jesus, he poured himself into Judas, even though he knew Judas was going to turn around and hurt him. But I'm not sure that would be the person that I would connect that to for Jesus. How about Peter, after he spent all that time with Jesus, and at the very crucial moment, Peter, what denies Jesus Christ? And all the disciples run. He's not alone, but he's alone. I think you guys know what I mean by that. And so the understanding there is, I think this is somebody who's not always, you knew, was a little squirrely, but just turned out to be not that way. And just like, what happened? What happened to that person? What happened to that relationship? How did Satan get in there so deeply? Wow. That's some tough stuff, right? That's human stuff. That's why I love the Psalms. Can't get any more human than the Psalms. They're just brilliant. Okay, let's slow it down here. And let's take our time right now and get into our very first trivia question. So if you're in San Diego, 11:45. If you're in Dallas, 1:45, pretty simple. You can answer this trivia question. You can either answer it by phone, by text, or by email. Here's the trivia question. In the Gospel of Mark, who is the first person mentioned? In the Gospel of Mark, who is the first person mentioned? There you go. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the Gospel of Mark. So you're gonna, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to look at the Gospel of Mark, and you have to go to Mark 1:1 and then see who's the first person mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. If you think you know, again, no matter where you're from, just reach out to us. It shouldn't really be that much of a big deal. 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am giving you kind of a warning. I guess there was some kind of warning, some kind of alert system at sometime this afternoon. I don't know. I wasn't around. So I didn't get anything.
Hey, has your phone gone off yet?
No, it didn't do anything. But then I always have the volume down, so I don't know.
Well, mine, I had mine on silent, and it went off right before the show.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So if it goes off during the show, then yeah.
Okay.
If you're going to hear a loud beep.
Okay, if it goes off during the show, I just want everybody to know, and if anybody else has gone off in the show, the alarm is to tell you to listen to the show. Okay, here we go. Okay, so that's pretty simple. So, who is the first person mentioned in the Gospel of Mark? You're looking at 1:1, Mark 1:1, okay? Mark's the second gospel, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you know, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's your question. Let's get back to our text. I love the Psalms, and I love some of the books we're going into. We are going to be doing Genesis, by the way, and now I'm just kind of stuck right now trying to decide whether we want to do Malachi or 1 Samuel. So we got a lot of stuff going on. I could use wisdom all the way around. Let's go back to the text as we were in Psalm chapter 41. We're at verse 12. Okay? Here's what it says. As for me, David writing, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Okay, well, just wait. You set me before your face forever. So when you read Psalm 23, verse 6, and it says, to let goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And people are going, well, he didn't mean forever. It's like, no, you're not quite getting how this goes with God. The church is awesome. The temple of God is awesome on earth. But the real church, the real temple of God, is before his presence forever, for all eternity. And that is always at play when you're looking at Scripture. So David says, you set me before your face forever. There's nothing more poetic or important than this moment in the Psalms after he just expresses his deep grief and hurt for a human relationship that went awry. He's now looking to the Lord to be the healing balm of all pain. And so we're closing out this first book, and David's closing this book just before the last most brilliant thing. He says, you know, everything in the universe revolves around this one thing, God, that you are before me forever and nothing else matters. And so what I want you to understand is when it says you set me before your face forever, what he's saying is that David is like, I just want to be in your presence forever. And we have mentioned on this show, and we'll mention until we no longer have a show or till they don't let us do a show, in essence, there is no greater answer to every single problem in humanity, start to finish. Not one solution better than to have more of God in the situation. And so David's like, you know what? All this right here, I just you're before my face, Lord. I just want you before me. I just want to see you. I want to constantly keep my mind where it needs to be in you. I want to think of you. I want to be connected to you. I want to hear from you. I want to know you. Just think of all these wonderful things that come from this amazing fellowship with the Lord. Not only do we have this everlasting peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, which means he's the authority of peace, but we have joy that's in the presence of the Lord. We have love that's in the presence of the Lord. We have grace and mercy and kindness and compassion. And so every time we're going through the mill, The answer is to get to the Lord on our knees first. Then, when it's time and the trumpet blows, just forever and ever, he'll be before us. That's just like, and I'm so tired of the images. It's just these terrible, you know, I love art. Art is really good. Stuff that people do in art is really cool. But I can't stand the art stuff that shows like angels are like little puffy babies, or that it shows that we'll just all be on, you know, playing, you know, harps and, you know, just kind of sitting on a cloud, never moving for a trillion years. Hey, that's not heaven. Heaven is hanging out with the Lord, doing stuff with him, fellowshipping with him, knowing that there will be yet more to do. And here's one of my favorite lines. People don't like it, but it's okay. Here's the bottom line. You know how we got interrupted in the garden because of sin? I wonder what we were supposed to do before sin came along. And then you have to wonder, do we go back to that because we never finished the original plan? Ooh, what will that be? I don't know, but it's exciting. See how that works? Okay. All right, then David says this, and I just have to say this. So he's it's just one of the great, great acknowledgments of everything. This is verse 13, and I want you to understand, this is the last verse in book 1. Book 2 goes basically 42 through 72, then we'll break it down 73 to 10 whatever and 10 whatever to 10 whatever. I mean, we'll get down to that. Here's what I want you to get. We've just gone through 41 psalms, and as you've listened to me talk about this, there are a lot of ups and downs. There are a lot of times where David's crying out about his sin. There's a lot of times where David's crying out about his enemies. There's a lot of times where David's crying out because he just can't figure it out, trying to walk it through. Here's how he concludes all of that stuff. Verse 13 in Psalm 41. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. You know how we always have those plaques at our house with all the scriptures? See this? This would be one of those. He gives this incredible acknowledgement to God as he's closing out one of the five books. In the book, he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. All the stuff you can say and all the stuff you can be frustrated about, the truest answer to everything that he's already sung about, that he's already written about, that he's already brought forward, is blessed be the Lord God of Israel. That is the number one thing. And then he doesn't say it there because it's circumstantial or situational. He pushes past that by going from everlasting to everlasting. Well, how long is that? Well, that would be you and I understanding from eternity to eternity. What? What? It's the simplest way to say from the start to the end, from the beginning to the finish, from the Alpha to the Omega, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever, from the essence of some form of start to the essence of some form of conclusion, which actually there is no real pinpoint on eternity having a starting point or an ending point, which is a very amazing fact. Remember, God is not bound by time. He created time for the sake of man. So you're talking about a being that operates outside of time, not something a finite person could possibly grasp in its fullness. And then he just says this. Okay, well, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And then he drops a double on this one. He goes, amen and amen. It's not even just an amen. It's an amen and amen. And amen typically means let it be, or it is so, or yes it is, or that is true. Any of those would actually apply. And he's doubling it. Yes and yes. I mean, that's just like the great way to say it. Yes and yes, that's what it is. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. You know what you're going through? It's not always easy. You know what you have to do? It's not always. Sometimes there's a lot of victories. Sometimes there's a lot of, you know, stalling. Sometimes you have to wait till you get through. Sometimes it goes up and down and up and up. Cool, 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 cool. Here's the answer. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. From the start till there's, and for us there'll be no end. And it started for us finite-wise when we said yes and we started get it, but it's like everlasting to everlasting. You know what? Here's the answer. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, how cool is that? And then he goes, amen and amen. That's just for, I just want to say, it's for impact. That's for impact. Amen and amen. Right? That is cool. Oh, I love it. See, now how'd you get that? You just slow down when you read. Don't read for speed. Read for need. Read to hear the voice of the Lord. It is, in fact, his word. So it's what he has to say. And I love this because I talked to this about my son. It's like, learn what he has to say. So then when he does speak to you, you will know what he sounds like because you know what his voice is. See how that works? Okay. All right, we got about 40 seconds. What do we got? Do we have somebody who wants to try answer trivia? They know it's fast, right? Do they know it's going to be really quick? I'm going to tell them, okay?
Here we go. Don't have a trivia, but we have someone calling in wanting to chat. So okay. I don't know if you want to push it to...
I do want to push it because we only got like 30 seconds. Ask them if they can hang on for that. So have them hold on. All right, here's where we're... Good job, Jacob. That was the way to do that. All right, here's the answer to the trivia question in the Gospel of Mark. Who is the first person mentioned? And the answer is Jesus. Is the first person mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. If you're in San Diego, you can keep listening to the show, HeMustIncrease.org, and then you can also stay on KBRT 1240 and listen to the great shows they have there. If you're in Dallas, you just got to hang out. We'll take a short break and then come back. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon experience?
And God's just like, there's no room there. It's like, well, no. I can, you know, not vote for either kingdom. Well, let me get this straight. You're not voting for the kingdom of God. Therefore, you're also trying to be a supporter of the kingdom of darkness. How does that work? That doesn't work. And in lieu of that, you know, I had a discussion with my son. We were talking about preparation and being ready because you never know when when that trumpet's going to blow for you. You don't know at that moment where God's going to go, ding dong, time's up. And I said, you always got to be ready. He said, well, you can't always be ready. It's like, no, you always got to be ready. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Be ready. Always be ready, for you do not know the day that the Lord will come. And that's not just from an eschatological point of view for life. That's for you individually. You got to be ready and watchful and aware because this is kingdom stuff. And there's a kingdom being built. Glorify God, and there's all the opposing kingdoms. And it's a pretty straightforward question. Which kingdom are you trying to support? That's the question. And if you say, well, I'm not supporting any kingdom, then you are opposed to the kingdom of God. Because you're either helping advance his kingdom or you're in opposition. And that's where Jesus split the line. And you think, well, that doesn't seem fair. We have a great word around this show that we like to use every once in a while, but with tons of love. Tough. It's like, it's not whether you think it's fair or not. You know, well, I don't think God, a God of love, would do it this way or this way. Too bad what you think. You're not God. That's not up to you. Well, that's just what the Bible says. So let me get this straight. So you believe that God can create the universe, but he can't write a book? Boy, that argument's going to get lost every single time. So my whole point in bringing this up is it's not a contradiction at all. You're either for, in Luke 9, 49 and 50, you're either for the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, driving out demons in the name of Jesus Christ, trying to make declaration for the truth of God, or you're against the kingdom, whether you are verbally, physically against it, or whether you are verbally and physically doing nothing. There is no neutral. You're either a kingdom advancer or you're against the kingdom. And what's really hard, are you ready for your noodle to get baked here? Is the decisions that we make advance kingdoms. Do we consider our decisions before we make these decisions? Do we consider what kingdom we're impacting? Wow. Isn't that tough?
The David Spoon Experience.